From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Brad, boys and girls. Jingle bells and all that sort of stuff. My name's Eric Wiltshire, at the base of the Tatry Mountains in the east of Slovakia. No surprises, we're in Pop Brad. It's the alternative sideways look at the news, and I'm looking at mountains covered in snow. No rain, just snow. Over on the zit of the nose of Europe, it is Lee Banks.
And I, ladies and gentlemen, have entered into the Christmas spirit too. I'm not looking at mountains as such. I'm looking at a log fire, which I am now poking at, as we speak.
And also joining us, it's the co-founder of the Consumer Action Group, Mark Gander.
Well, yeah, hi there. And I'm pleased to say that I'm not in Paris now. I'm in also at the bottom of some snow-covered mountains, the bottom of the Alps, where I've taken my children to go skiing. And we're just outside a little village called Lemura. And I'm sitting in the bar or the cafe at the bottom of the mountain. It's a lovely little cafe. I'm drinking hot spiced wine, which I just went to get. Lee, ha ha ha. It's absolutely delicious.
I'm actually drinking chamomile tea.
How sad.
I worry about
actually,
you.
With alcohol in it, it might be quite good. Yeah. The name of this little restaurant here is called La Serra, just outside Lemura. Very, very nice, cheap ski center. Great training. Moderately good food, not really.
So you've taken your children on a holiday on the cheap side. And you've abandoned them on a ski slope while
just,
you go
just
get
a moment, Mark. Just a minute. Lee?
Yes, yeah.
What are your mountains looking like?
Well, actually, I am looking at some mountains as Andrea is having a rest on the couch at the moment.
You're in so much trouble. You really are. Hi to the guys at Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, you wonderful folks on Audio Boo. Thanks to Mark Rock for another sensational year. You're a star. We have to start off this week with some very sad news, boys and girls. But it has to be said, if it wasn't for this guy and people like him, us three idiots wouldn't be having fun on the radio right now, and you wouldn't be enjoying it, because lots of dignitaries, including David Cameron, were over at the funeral of the former Czech president, Václav Havel, in Prague. He was a dissident writer, elected to lead the country's transition after the communist regime was swept away after the very, very peaceful Velvet Revolution of 1989. And if it wasn't for people like him, we wouldn't, as I say, be having that conversation. He was born in Prague in 1936, and in the 60s, when the tanks were sent in, he had another association with us. He provided commentary on the events taking place at the time in 68 at via Free Radio Czechoslovakia in those days. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, after that, he was banned from the theatre, but he became more politically active. Now, in 1989, the Velvet Revolution saw him just get swept up into presidency. I'm not sure that's a role he would have really wanted. And in this role, he led Czechoslovakia and later the Czech Republic to parliamentary democracy. In the 13 years he was in office, lots of changes to what was still then the Czechoslovakia, including accession into NATO and the start of negotiations for membership in the European Union. And he also saw the very, very gentle separation of the Czech Republic and Slovakia. David Cameron said about the man, Havel devoted his life to the cause of human freedom. For years, communism tried to crush him and to extinguish his voice. But Havel, the playwright and the dissident, could not be silenced. No one will ever forget those powerful scenes from Wenceslas Square 2 decades ago. Havel led the Czech Republic people out of tyranny and helped bring freedom and democracy to our entire continent. Europe owes him a profound debt, and I agree with that. And I just have to say thank you to not just him, but to everybody else who was involved in the Velvet Revolution to bring Europe into a more stable and peaceful place. And that has just got to be brilliant. Sir, wherever you are now, we thank you very much.
He was a good egg. And let's not forget that he was actually one of the cult of dissident writers, like you mentioned. The dissident writers were something that grew out of really the mid-30s and overtook Eastern Europe and Russia. And he was one of the best. And he actually, unlike some of them, made a difference, actually used his art and his craft to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And he did that.
And it was pleased to note that people as far coming from over in America, far away, Bill Clinton, Nicolas Sarkozy was there as well, and a huge amounts of other dignitaries just paying homage to the man. And I just have to say, you were a star, sir. You really were. Big respect to you. Let's change tack a bit now. 2011 saw RTI having a little bit of a go at people.
We did, didn't we?
All three of us, actually, having a little go at absolutely. People. And we start off with Mark's massive contribution to an amazing programme on the UK's ITV. Mark?
Well, you're right. I mean, we had a great time on the Consumer Action Group. Before I go on, incidentally, let me just apologise to anybody who can hear background noise, because I am sitting in a cafe at the bottom of these ski slopes, and there may be music and dishes and so forth being washed up. But yes, the Consumer Action Group had a very interesting...
Could I just interrupt for 1 second?
Are you telling me? Hang on a minute. Right. Are you telling me you haven't paid your bill? You're doing the washing up?
That's what it might be like, yeah.
And I'd just like to say to the ladies and gentlemen listeners that I'm really sorry if they can hear a roaring fire in the background with logs spitting and my chamomile tea there bubbling away.
Yes. And I'd just like to apologise if you hear the helicopter coming flying over, which it seems to be doing a lot at the moment, probably helping people up to the ski slopes.
Yeah.
Bless.
Oh, that's so sweet. Carry on, Mark.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if I can match up to that. But anyway, we got involved in preparing a covert documentary about bailiffs, journalists were inserted, if you like, into bailiff companies and ended up working side by side with real bailiffs, investigating what was going on. And it was pretty nasty, pretty shocking, pretty brutal stuff. And it was shown on television. And caused, you know, a real furore and a panic amongst the industry, and has started up again the discussion of how the bailiff industry should be regulated. I don't think it's going to happen for at least a couple of years, and I suppose that although bailiffs suddenly became very well behaved for a while, I think that we're starting to hear stories of them slipping back into their old ways.
But we'll nail them on here as well, Mark.
We will nail them. Yes. We will nail them.
Can I ask Mark a question?
You're going to anyway. I can't stop you. Yeah.
Well, it's quite a serious question, and not meant in any sort of aggressive fashion.
No,
but you were involved in the program, right?
Yeah.
That involved covert reporting.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Journalists telling lies to get at a story and find out facts.
Yeah.
After the way you've attacked me for things like that over the past
I'm just
wondering how you actually sanction the fact that you became involved in underhand journalism.
Well, I don't think they were breaking the law.
No.
I mean, they weren't, for instance, hacking telephones, which I think is breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't have been allowed to do it because they were doing it on ITV, which is controlled by a regulator, an independent regulator, which lays down the rules.
We don't know what these journalists do at home at night under the bedsheets when nobody's watching.
You're the very man to tell us.
Listen to Radio Luxembourg in years past under the bedclothes. Anyway, Mark, one thing that I also want to ask, the problem with all these programmes is there's loads of information which raise questions, but there's rarely any help for the consumer at the end of them all.
Well, look, I mean, on the Consumer Action Group, we supply help for anybody who comes along, and we never charge anybody any money. But it also happens that there was a book published about the same time, which coincided. In fact, it was actually designed to be published at the same time as the program, a consumer book by a guy called John Cruise, who really is the UK expert on bailiffs. And he produced a book which I edited, and altogether we managed to present it, I think, in a sort of fairly consumer-friendly version, because it's a very, very complicated area. And so far, it's selling very, very well, and we're hearing that people are getting great benefit out of it, and they're more able to stand up to oppressive bullying tactics from these people who visit them. So that came out of it, and we were very pleased.
Good.
The Consumer Action Group is almost like a drop-in centre for people who have problems, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose
it is. I've never thought about it like that, but yes, I mean, you know, I hope it is.
Yeah, exactly.
I really hope it is.
It's a drop-in set for ladies and gentlemen.
It's, well, to use the other colloquialism, it's a speakeasy for consumers with problems.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's a place. Yeah. It's the place that the broken and the lonely can
go. Stop this! Well, you're going to say
the lonely. This is the great thing about the Consumer Action Group, that it is provides community. And I tell you, we have so many people who come along, and maybe we can't help them, but they're really frightened, they're really discouraged, you know, they get a lot of support, and you know, they find it's fantastic to realise that maybe they're not the only people in that same boat. That's
yeah,
great.
I think that's one thing that the internet does incredibly well. Yeah. on forums. Across many spectrums.
Absolutely.
Anyway, staying with Baileys for a moment, one of our listeners, Naomi, was on holiday. She signed a bit of paper to go to this do. They then plied her with drink and got her to sign another bit of paper because they wouldn't let her go, she says. They say it was a legally binding contract. And it was all to do with some timeshares and holiday things. Well, she actually got a piece of paper out, wrote to them and said, sorry, we don't want this anymore, cancel the contract. They said no. They then threatened to send in the bailiffs. In came RTI, and Lee also forwarded it to an agency in the UK, which I can't remember.
AMU Services.
Thank you. Because I can't remember it. And funnily enough, so shocking, after that, my gasp was flabbered, because they decided that even though they felt they were right, they were cancelling the contract.
That's right, that's right. I think that's a good thing. I think the chap who did it, I can't remember his name.
No.
But he did the correct thing. It's just a pity it took him so long.
Well, it's just a pity he didn't take the notice of the consumer, and the consumer had to come to us to get the help.
Yeah.
And that's quite a telling thing, really, for consumer problems, that it actually took a radio station, two grown-up journalists, and a news agency to make somebody see sense.
Funny that. But I will give you a couple of bits of advice. If you are going on holiday, don't go to the, as you come out of the airport, the place that says free taxis for Brits, unless you check with them that you don't have to sign anything, because I'll guarantee they're going to try and ply you a drink and make you sign up for something. And secondly, if you are going on one of these events and you see the rep coming round, don't go to these free drinks things, because there is no free lunch. It'll cause you grief.
But ladies and gentlemen, let's be sensible about this while Eric's ranting on about go have the drinks. Go and have the drinks. Just because you're drunk, it doesn't mean you have to sign it up.
Yeah, right.
Go on, Lee. I remember on the first programme, you had a top tip, didn't you?
What, for this?
Yes.
For this sort of thing. Yeah, top tip. But I'm not saying that anybody should do this at all. It's despicable and it's telling untruths. Mm-hmm. And we don't want people to do that. But if you get in there, have your drinks, have your free prizes, right, and your gifts, and then when they're filling in the form, say, oh, what do you do for a living, sir? You say, journalist. You'll be out of there in 10 seconds flat, champagne under your arm, gifts in your pockets, into a taxi and straight back to your hotel. Everybody's a winner apart from the people who are trying to get you to sign up.
Yeah, tell them you're a reporter for RTI, that'll work.
Yeah.
In other stories this year, one was a credit card issue for a very tiny split-second late payment, Lee.
It's basically what happened. I've got a better one to tell you than this, really. But in simple terms, somebody we know very well, who shall remain nameless, her initials are Andrea Martin, paid her credit card, right, a little bit late. Maybe half an hour late. Literally within minutes of the time she should have paid it, she paid it. And they charged her £20 for that. She didn't actually notice, so the charges on that credit card fine, because it is nothing else, they're only fines, increased and increased and increased. And eventually, through the power of RTI, we got the money back. But listen to this one, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to this one. Now, a lot of you will remember last year, on at the beginning of this year, we suggested a couple of times that I was doing some covert investigations into the county council here where I live. Now, I can't reveal too much about it, but I would say that something quite incendiary and exciting and dramatic and, dare I say, shocking has come out of this investigation, and we are about to reveal it very soon at the beginning. The new year.
So watch out for 2012 and the sparks will fly.
The edge of my seat.
Lots of top 10s and 25s and all sorts of other things. But this one's slightly interesting to me. Facebook's top 10 games of 2011.
Oh, no. Why? Not doing this.
Yes. In number 10 slot was Diamond Dash, then Slotomania, Empires and Allies, Bingo Whiz, Words with Friends, Indiana Jones Adventure World, Double Down Casino, Cityville, The Sims Social, Garden of Time.
How interesting. How old are you?
Thank you. And the funny thing is,
about 200 years old, you know, and you're about playing games.
The interesting thing is that another organisation, Apps Data, reckons that the top 10 is completely different. Namely, Indiana Jones Adventure World, Bubble Witch Saga, Diamond Dash, Words with Friends, Empire and Allies, The Sims Social, Texas Hold'em, Farmville, Castleville, Cityville. Now, well, that doesn't make sense to me.
Never heard of them.
What? None of them?
None of them.
Well,
I'm not kidding you.
I have played Bubble Witch Saga, Diamond Dash, and Farmville.
How shameful.
But
how
I got bored with them very quickly, so I deleted them.
Cityville's pretty good. I have had a go at Cityville.
Have you? Well, you're just lambasting me, and now you're saying you do Cityville.
I don't do Cityville. I did Cityville once.
Well, I did them once.
No, you little liar. You didn't. You play them all the time.
I don't.
Martina tells me. She phones me. He's on that computer again playing with himself. He doesn't do anything with me anymore. He just plays games. And I built a council estate in Cityville. And you know what? They came and knocked it down and put a pair of flats up. I never played it again.
Lee, you've got a fundamental flaw in your story.
Why?
Martina is the games junkie.
It wouldn't have been funny that way around. I'm not saying it's funny anyway.
But there you go. Whichever one you want to believe, some of them are in the top anyway.
You've got a serious point to make on what you're saying there, though, because you're saying that that is a matter of personal opinion. Perfectly valid personal opinion. Two organisations have put out two different top tens. Mm. That's what used to happen in the top 10 music charts, dear.
Indeed. We'll be coming on to those in a minute, actually, funnily enough.
I wish I'd read this list.
something for Mark to make comment, and I am sure. Excessive card surcharges will be banned, says the UK Treasury.
Yes, that's the big story today, isn't it? Excessive card excessive card surcharges are going to be banned, and these are all the little charges. You're online, you're doing your shopping, or you're buying a holiday, what have you, and you think you know exactly what you're going to pay, and then you get to the end and you're just about to press the button to pay, and you suddenly notice that they've said 2.5% or 5% or something like that because you're paying by credit card. What other way is there to pay? I mean, just, you know, amazing, really. And they bang on this 5% or this 2.5%. And, of course, the real con here is that a lot of people think that this money is going directly to the card provider or to the bank or what have you.
It's not.
It's just added value for most of it's added value for the retailer. Yeah. So, in fact, really, they're not representing the true price.
Yeah, but the worst ones are local or nice the government. Government are the worst ones. £2.50 to buy a tax disc if you use a credit card. It doesn't cost £2.50 for the credit card transaction.
No, it's an absolute nonsense.
So are we saying that what the government's done is good?
No, but listen, there's a twist on this story. I think there's a twist on this story, okay? This is great news. They're going to do something about it, and they're going to stop these rip-off charges. What they're saying here, of course, is that they're not actually going to stop the rip-off charges. What they're saying is that if you're going to charge these extra things, make sure that it's visible right at the beginning of the transaction.
Sure.
And so that's likely to happen. So what it means is that the prices are going to still be the same, except that this price is going to be added at the beginning rather than the end. So it won't be quite such a stealth thing. So, okay, that's very interesting. But the second thing is, what does this blinking story matter anyway? Okay, the first thing is that this is not anybody taking a swipe at the banks, because what we're dealing with here is a few greedy retailers, and they're being sorted out. But the OFT is going around trumpeting this as some major victory. But the real stuff that causes damage to, if you like, the impoverished community, the less well-off people in the country, are still things like excessive overdraft charges, money, £20 or £25 that you might pay simply for having a direct debit bounced. These are the bank-inflicted damage that's happening to people all over the place, millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people.
You just reminded me of a story.
Yes. Sorry, because I know I'm going on and on.
No, you're all right.
I'm so angry with this story.
I actually had a phone call from a bank.
Major piece of news.
No, I had a phone call from a bank once who I was having a lot of arguments with, and I actually sent them an invoice for £25 for my time.
Yeah.
And they said...
That's what you should do.
And they said, what's that for? I said, well... You did it wrong, therefore I had to do some work, therefore I'm charging you for it. Yeah. Well, you can't. Well, why can't I? And they hadn't got an answer. They had no answer whatsoever. I mean, I never got any money, but the point...
Well, hang on. May I say, as a support to that story, a few months ago, I didn't mention it on the air, actually, but a few months
ago... Yes, you did.
Did I?
Yes. You got some compensation.
No, that's not the one, see... You big show off just because it's Christmas. No, I bought a toilet, right, from a leading toilet shop seller place, right?
Was it new?
It was a new toilet. Yes, you don't use. Right. Well, I suppose you do.
Just checking.
But no, it was a brand new one.
Might have been, you know, shop soiled.
Nobody used it in the shop. It was on a stand. And I took it back because it didn't work properly. It just didn't work as a toilet. It just. Malfunction. And I went into the shop, gave it and back. It cost me £60. It was an expensive toilet. Mm-hmm. I took it back in. I said, this toilet doesn't work. And they said, oh, we'll get you another one. I said, you'll also pay for the petrol that it's cost me to bring it back. And yeah, they said the same thing as you. No, we won't. And I said, yes, you will. Because, and then I showed my press card and said, because otherwise... I'll expose you. And I got £27 for petrol.
Nice one.
Good for you.
Do you know, there's going to be a massive influx.
You have to be media people to get these results.
And yeah,
all the ordinary people don't. They just get bullied.
Well, let's
absolutely right. Yeah,
let's repeat something we've said loads of times before. If you're listening to this program, and we will check it out first, if you've got a legitimate grievance with somebody or a company, we will fight for you. And we have media clout. But we will check first to make sure you're not being stupid. So if you're a twit, we'll also expose you for being a twit.
Yeah, just put it on Twitter.
Yes, exactly. Some bad news for the folks who do all these wonderful financial predictions, which I was whinging about last week. This couldn't have been better than winning the lottery for me. Because after last week and everybody going, oh, it's doom and gloom in the UK economy. Oh, the latest figures are out showing the economy grew just, I agree, by 0.6% between July and September. And it's faster than the previous estimates of 0.5%. Yeah. Growth was even stronger because of the serviced and construction sectors. Now,
which is crazy. That's a ludicrous statement.
Why?
Because there is no construction going on in Britain. There are no, and the service sectors are going on strike. It's a ludicrous thing put out by the government.
Excuse me.
I built a porch on my little house in London the other day.
That's construction.
Yeah, that's construction.
And what's
that wasn't
more,
very constructive to my argument.
One of my dear friends is erstwhile connected to the construction industry, and it means that I get to see some stuff, as you do when you're talking to friends and being interested about the job opportunities in the construction industry. They're crying out. There was a huge report on the BBC the other week of people crying out. For professional trades. The problem is that a lot of the youngsters haven't been trained. The old people, like Lee, who've got a qualification from Noah's Ark, get very upset because they go, oh, yeah, well, I've been in this trade for 150 years. The trouble is the trade qualifications have changed since then, and when they go for a job, they can't get one because they're not qualified in the latest technology.
Excuse me.
What?
Excuse me. Yeah. May I speak?
Well, yes, as you can speak as one who virtually lost his career by not using a computer.
What's that got to... Why are you exposing my soul to the world? Why are you exposing my peccadilloes? Only I could do that at my bedroom window. No, all I was saying is that being somebody who is inexorably linked to the building industry, because I've got a building plot here that I can't sell, right? That the building industry, wow, what you're saying is absolutely 100% right. I couldn't agree with you more. That training is one of the most important things.
Whose phone is that?
That's me.
Is that him?
It's him.
See, it's him again! Two weeks in a row! Yes!
That's it, Mark! You failed!
Do you want
to go outside to answer it, because you might slip down the side of the mountain.
Lee.
What?
Right, on the construction thing, there are oodles and oodles of jobs that need to be filled. The problem is that... If you want to be an electrician today, and I will state this categorically, when I did my apprenticeship, two of the sitting guilds I took were in electrical work. Yeah. I've seen the new electrical consumer units, and it's more like you use a computer within them because they're computer controlled. You can't have somebody who was trained to do ordinary double gangs or four gangs or whatever switching on electrics in the modern world.
That's what I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted by Mark's phone. Training is where it matters. Mm. And places that are actually offering training to young people and upgrading the industry, like you say, from the Neanderthals with the...
Neanderthals. Builders.
Yeah, that's what I nearly said. With their backsides at it. Once you've moved it on to there, to the young and beautiful people of the building industry, that's a good thing. But what I'm saying is, unfortunately, at the moment, the construction industry is still, apart from little pockets, of course, is still waiting in the wings to happen. And there
the trouble is,
there's
a fact of life that the construction industry has shown growth. And I have to say, probably things like the Olympic stadiums that have been put up and other projects like that have really pushed the numbers. That's fine. Yeah. But the fact is, it has grown. The fact is, it's 0.6, which is better than everybody predicted. And last week, I was lambasting those going, it's never going to be that good. I bet they're not eating humble pie right now. They're going, oh, well, it's just a glitch.
They'll be eating a bird within a bird within
a bird. Exactly. Talking of music, as we were earlier, Diana Ross is set for a Grammy tribute next year.
What's your Grammy?
Grammy.
Oh, sorry.
Grammy.
I'm sorry. I misread it. I've not seen the list. It's your fault. You know that, and I could tell the ladies and gentlemen what you did.
I sent it to your RTI email address.
Which I can't operate because it's brand new.
Anyway, Diana Ross will be alongside Glenn Campbell and also...
Oh, God, Glenn Campbell. Oh, how shameful. Sorry.
And also...
Have you heard his new song?
Why would I hear his new song? I don't listen to old people's radio.
No, I know, neither do I. But, actually, you know what? It was Jim Hawkins who played it. Radio. Yeah, quite right. I must have just been passing through the room at the time. He got really angry with me, you know, because I said, this song is shameful. And all I was saying is that it's badly written, it's badly orchestrated, the music's bad. I wasn't saying that the sentiment wasn't good, because the sentiment, obviously, as we all know...
And we'll return to this story in part two of Postcard from Pop Red.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.